tips and tricks when installing an engine air inlet. Tip number one, ensure that when you are torquing the inlet V-band clamp, that you account for your threads. You must ensure that your thread count is close to even on both the inboard and outboard sides. In order to achieve this, you must torque each side somewhat evenly, several turns at a time, in order to achieve the proper thread count on each side. You will notice that on the number two engine that this is a little bit more difficult, considering the orange fuel hose that is directly atop the inboard V-band clamp hardware. You may also notice that it is nearly impossible to get a 3/8 drive extension and socket to properly seat on this hardware due to the positioning of this fuel hose. When this is the case, take a deep well 3/8 socket, which is the size of the nut on the V-band clamp. Take that 3/8 inch deep well socket, also 3/8 inch drive, attach it to a step down from 3/8 drive to 1/4 inch drive, then attach a 1/4 inch drive long extension, 12 inch extension, and attach that to your wrench or torque wrench. If this still doesn't work, take a universal socket, a U-joint socket, the rotating socket, the connector, attach that to your step down, and then attach that step down to your 3/8 drive 3/8 inch deep well socket. This will allow you to hit the hardware at sort of an angle. Now, you may need to get a second toolbox out in order to attach a second 12-inch, 1/4-inch drive extension to your first one, so that you have enough range of motion to actually torque using a torque wrench, which can be quite longer than the 1/4-inch drive ratchet. Also, you may find that you need to use a mallet to tap your socket and extension in order for it to seat on the hardware on the inboard side of the V-band clamp on the number two engine. You risk damaging the threads by doing this, but in certain cases, this may be the only way that you actually get your wrench to seat, to get a bite on the hardware. Also ensure that the water wash clamp is positioned so that it does not chafe on the lower lines of the engine. You may need to route it above those lines or underneath those lines, depending on whether or not you're on the number one side or number two side. But regardless of which side you're on, you need to make sure that it is not chafing, because those lines get incredibly hot, and they could possibly melt through that water wash hose. And if that water wash hose becomes disconnected, it's in the inlet and could potentially interfere with the drive shaft and engine operation, which is not good for anybody that's in the air. Additionally, with the engine air inlet, ensure that the eyebrow fairing is not installed prior to installation of the engine air inlet. If you try to install the engine air inlet with the eyebrow fairing installed on the aircraft, you risk damaging the seal on the eyebrow fairing. This seal is an easy fix, but again, will eat up maintenance hours because you cannot fly without the eyebrow fairing, so far as I am aware. Now, it is possible to have your QC and PC get together if there is a mission that needs to happen where the eyebrow fairing is not really considered essential, such as in emergency situations. But for the most part, throughout my aviation experience, the eyebrow fairing must be installed on the aircraft. Now, if you do damage the eyebrow fairing, you will have to remove the eyebrow fairing and send it to Airframe so that they can redo the seal on it. Now, this is generally a quick fix if they have the seal. If they don't have the seal lying around, you could find yourself waiting for several days before that eyebrow fairing is actually ready to go back on the aircraft. You could have prevented that whole situation entirely had you just removed the eyebrow fairing, then removed the inlet, and then reinstalled the inlet, and then reinstalled the eyebrow fairing. Again, I cannot stress enough, if you are reinstalling the engine air inlet, make sure that the eyebrow fairing is not on the aircraft. It must go on after, especially when seating the engine air inlet. It's too easy to pinch that seal, and now you've got a bad eyebrow fairing. So today I'd like to talk about the primary servos and the transfer module, male and female quick disconnect couplings leaking. So 2 weeks ago we had an issue on the flight line with the quick disconnect feet leaking due to cold weather with the O-rings shrinking. They provide less coverage, and we're talking like on the level of like thousandths of an inch, which can cause hydraulic fluid leaks. So this is going to be a recurring problem all winter with the entire fleet. Our PC officer agrees that this is going to be a recurring issue. So in order to mitigate this issue, we have tried to closely watch the source of the leak. Once there's hydraulic fluid all over the hydraulic deck, it's kind of difficult to determine where it came from. So make sure that you wipe up all the hydraulic fluid and see if it is a static leak. If it is a static leak, try to pinpoint where it's coming from. Watch it over the course of a couple of hours. Keep it indoors and see if it still leaks. We noticed that some of the transfer module manifolds had hydraulic fluid on the top surface, which is obviously an indication that somewhere on the primary servos or somewhere on the transfer modules, hydraulic fluid is spilling out. And then if you wipe everything down, you can generally sit and watch it a second time, and typically it's going to be the quick disconnect couplings. So you can remove the transfer module or the forward aft lateral primary servos, take out the quick disconnect couplings, replace the O-rings. You can replace the quick disconnect couplings if you have them. If you don't, then just replace the O-rings. They're pretty commonplace. The quick disconnect couplings, the self-sealing type for the transfer module, can be kind of hard to find on the Korean Peninsula. So you may have to call Camp Humphreys 602nd for the part. Just keep that in mind and try to order those as early as possible so that you minimize maintenance, downtime for maintenance, because we waited 3 to 4 days to get our full set. If we had ordered them earlier, we could have minimized the downtime on that aircraft. Additionally, with the tail rotor, we had an issue with the de-ice, so they replaced the de-ice system and they replaced the tail rotor paddle, because the cannon plug on the tail rotor paddle was defective. They tried to fix it once, avionics came out and redid it. The fault continued, so they replaced the paddle. Now, when they replaced the paddle, they removed the pitch control rods, but they did not alter the length. They kept the jam nuts on the tail rotor pitch control rods. They kept the jam nuts exactly where they were. They did not cut the safety wire. They did not alter the length of any servo control rods. When they installed the new tail rotor paddle, they wanted us to do a full rig check to ensure that everything was still within limits with blade angles and such. Now, the work package calls for a full tail rotor rig check, but if you didn't adjust anything and all you did was install a new tail rotor paddle, but the length of the control rods and the length of the pitch control rods are all the same, you really only need to measure blade angles. If your blade angles are in, that means your 3-degree bias is in. If your 3-degree bias is in, all of your pins should slide in. So you don't need to insert any of the rig pins. All you need to do is do your left pedal high collective and measure your blade angles with the protractor on your new tail rotor paddle. And if the blade angles all come in, then you should be fine. And they should all be, I believe it is 18.5, and they should all be within 0.4 of each other, and they should all be measured off the red blade. You need to make sure that when you're measuring the blade angles that you have the blades in the horizontal position facing forward. So you need to have the red blade facing toward the front of the aircraft, perfectly horizontal. And you need to ensure that there's no movement on the aircraft so that you could actually zero your protractor and get an accurate measurement. You need to ensure that the aircraft is inside for the best results. If you're outside, the environment tends to affect the aircraft. The wind makes it very difficult to zero the protractor. You zero the protractor on the outboard retention plate, on the two bolts, just behind the two bolts, closest to the paddle that you're measuring. So you'll zero it behind those two bolts on the outboard retention plate with your blade in the horizontal position facing forward, and then you will measure on the end of the blade spar. So the blade spar is forward of the cuff, and it is that raised portion of the base of the tail rotor paddle where your balance weights connect to.